Hey, Chris Manning from Locked On Cavs here. Coming up on today's show, Evan and I are going to talk about the latest and what the NBA return is going to look like and how that's very likely not going to include the Cavs. We're going to talk about what our thoughts on draft and free agency being moved back and our sort of feelings on that. And we're going to talk about LaMelo Ball. That's all coming up today on Locked On Cavs, your daily-ish Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And as always, we're brought to you by Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Cleveland Cavaliers select Darius Garland from Vanderbilt University. Cleveland! This is for you!
Evan, what's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm pretty good. I can't complain. It's a little chilly this weekend, actually, I have to say. All things considered, let's just be frank. Our country's kind of tearing apart at the seams right now. So that's been tough to watch, and it's been kind of just sad to watch Cleveland be torn down like it has been. But it's also understandable because of the reality of the situation. I won't dwell on it too much. But how are you? How are you, bud?
I'm good. I'm good. All things considered, yeah, it's a complicated emotions about a lot of this, and I can understand it. I mean, for transparency, my dad works for a beat-ups corporate, and he was downtown kind of texting me and explaining kind of everything going on down there and how crazy it is. We've seen various local businesses posting out there, like Pour Coffee, as posted stuff, and a lot of other businesses have done kind of the same thing. But it's a very tragic time in our country for a lot of reasons. And the Cavs, just as a very bad segue here, did comment on the death of George Floyd. They released two statements. Number one, to briefly quote the joint statement from Kobe Altman and J.B. Bickerstaff, quote, "Our hearts are filled with sadness, disgust, and overall frustration as we continue to process the tragic and senseless acts of violence toward yet another individual of the African American community. Our sincere condolences go out to the members of the Floyd family and those who come to know and love him." The Cavs statement does say, included things such as, quote, "The death of George Floyd is heartbreaking, appalling, and tragic. Our collective humanity suffers greatly in the midst of senseless acts like this, not just now, but always." And, quote, "We believe all for one really does mean for, in all caps, all." So the Cavs did comment on this. We've seen players comment on this. Colin Sexton, in something I didn't quite expect, kind of alluded to the need for change and stuff like that, which was very interesting to see. He's kind of been quiet on a lot, and he's a young guy, so it's understandable. We've seen former Cavs like Jordan Clarkson and J.R. Smith were out at the marches out in Los Angeles. And I'm sure this, Evan, just as we're not going to spend any more time on this, really. We have other stuff to talk about, but I do think it is notable that I don't think this is when the NBA comes back, and that's looking like late July. It would not shock me if we saw players wearing I Can't Breathe t-shirts again or doing something to continue this conversation, because that is their platform, and it would not shock me if that is a widespread thing that is done once the league does come back.
No, I think you'll definitely see that from players as well, because a lot of athletes in the NBA, Jaylen Brown drove 15 miles to peacefully protest in Atlanta. LeBron is using his platform on Twitter and just as
Jaylen Brown's a real one. Yeah, I just want to say that real, for the record. I love Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown is probably top three for me now in terms of non-Cavs that are not my favorites. Continue.
No, I agree. Him, Malcolm Brogdon's a real one too. I think he was with Jaylen, but I do know he was marching peacefully yesterday. LeBron's using his platform to speak out against this and just, yeah, I think in a predominantly African-American league, the NBA will definitely, well, at least the players will use their platform that they have to voice their concerns and be able to, try and bring this country together on a unifying fact that has been a deeply seated and problematic issue that has been throughout America and its entire existence for an African American to live in. And it's just definitely tough for them to go through, and I'm glad that they're able to use their platform in such a progressive and thoughtful way. And I'm also glad the Cavs just once again maintain that they are one of the more progressive organizations in the NBA and in all of sports, because this statement from both Kobe Altman and JB Bickerstaff, who, for those of you who may not know, are African-American, obviously, and so that's a significant thing for them to be able to have this platform to be able to voice their thoughts on the situation. And the Cavs as a whole, they've always just been a more progressive organization, all things considered, just based on who they have leading the organization. And just be able to release a statement like that, it carries a lot more weight for me.
Yeah, and I think the front office in particular, like, I will joke about Kobe Altman being, you know, doing Goldman Sachs videos or whatever, mm-hmm. but he comes from the David Griffin school, where they really believe in people and the power of people, mm-hmm. and empowering others and shining the light on people that are disenfranchised and hurt and taking it and really attacked. I mean, they were very supportive of LeBron, if you remember, during that last the finals run where there's vandalism at his home in LA. So I certainly think there's going to be racial, if you don't remember, some racial issues, let's just say, at his home, if you want to look that up. But, Evan, let's move on to, since we're only going to talk about this for a couple seconds, and I think you and I are on, or a couple of minutes, and you and I are sort of on the same page, to segue very awkwardly, because that just feels like appropriate for what we're going through right now.
Mm-hmm.
The draft and free agency are going to move back. We're going to talk about where the NBA is sort of going after this, and how that's not going to include the Cavs.
Yeah.
Where are you at on the free agency maybe being before the draft, but at the very least, all of this stuff is going to be going down in the fall and not in our normal kind of summer window?
From what I've heard, the draft is slated to be around mid to late September.
Yep.
That's just based on what I've heard from people within the league and then people who are kind of closer affiliated to this than I am. It's kind of hard to kind of get like a straight answer just because it's such an so many unknown situations going on right now. But you and I briefly touched on this a little bit earlier when we were just kind of going over our notes for today's show. I'm fine with this as long as, again, and I'll stress this for the umpteenth time, if the NBA does this safely, they do this properly, and that nothing goes wrong for these players and their families when they come back, because it's a catastrophic failure on the NBA's part that if the because there's still a pandemic going on, and not being able to keep that in mind, and if like a player gets it, or if like a bunch of players get it, or anyone catches it, they die from this. It's a catastrophic failure in the NBA's part. But so like I'm fine with delaying the process of free agency and the draft as long as why they're delaying it is done safely and properly the first time.
Yeah, I've talked to some people that have kind of contract situations that are going to be very precarious just amid all this. I mean, I think you're going to see non-guaranteed dates obviously are going to get moved around. I think you're going to see two-way stuff is going to be a little different. I don't quite know. We don't know what quite all of this looks like. I don't actually know whatever happened, and I haven't been able to find like a good answer about like the G League unionizing, but you know, I think they're going to be someone that could feel the frankly, unfortunately, the brunt of that. I mean, that's maybe not as much as I'm thinking here, but I think there's some kind of, you know, kind of questions in terms of that. I guess I think it was inevitable. Once the season was slowed down, mm-hmm. and shut down for the time being, I think just the shift back to the later draft and everything like that was inevitable. I guess the only thing I don't quite know how I feel about it yet is I don't really know how I feel about free agency before the draft. It's what it is like in the NFL, so there is sort of some precedent in how this works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's obviously like the rookie numbers are sort of not going to count against the cap in the same way, and like you're going to be able to sign them for what you're going to sign them to, and certainly like, I mean, like for usually like every rookie pretty much gets the 120% number. Kevin Porter Jr. didn't, like there was just like some structural stuff they agreed to kind of help the cap stay under the tax. His agent did him a solid.
Mm-hmm.
Most players honestly don't do that, so
yeah.
Kudos to them, I guess that's what they wanted to do. But I that's my one question. I don't think the Cavs, as we're going to talk about in the coming months and stuff, are not going to be big, big players. They have like the one exception they're going to use, but there's just a lot of stuff we don't know, and until I feel like we have a better read on the cap and what that's going to look like and everything, I don't know how much I can really invest and think about the pragmatics of this.
I really can't think of much either when it comes to just the ongoing situation. It's just, again, everything's fluid. Like, things could change, but by the time we record this and by the time, like, we actually kind of have a concrete idea of how things are going forward. But the Cavs, at least, aren't going to be a major, major player in free agency by all accounts. From what we heard, Andre Drummond is going to be opting back into his player option. I'm more than certain that Kevin Love will be here to start the season. At the least, he could get moved. Who knows? Maybe Kobe Altman's able to make something out of nothing, like him and his teacher, David Griffin, have always been built a reputation for. But, yeah, no, I just think it just kind of changes the draft strategy a little bit for some teams. Maybe if they're able to make major splashes in free agency, a draft and address positions in need, because this isn't the most stellar draft class. You're not really going to be walking away with a superstar player depending on where you're picking. But for a team like Cleveland that's starved for talent, I think free agency coming before the draft really isn't going to affect their long-term plans. And like you said, they do have that mid-level exception to use, but I don't know how freaking how weird the Cavs are going to get with it, because they are kind of loaded out and filled out on their rotation to begin with. So I don't think they're going to be able to get, like, unless they want to bump one of their younger players out of the rotation entirely to sign a mid-level player to really chase the playoffs, I don't think the Cavs really are going to be a major player in free agency to begin with.
We have the series coming up that we'll talk about more in the coming weeks, just kind of identifying different needs that we're going to do on the show, do it for the sword. Actually, we did some of the mapping out on it on Sunday before we were kind of a couple hours before we recorded this, and I'm very excited about it. I don't know if Evan feels quite the same way, but I'm pretty
excited. To be fair, I was half awake when you were sending it to me, so
I just love a good spreadsheet, you know? That's like really like in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, like, but when I said, like, what do you mean? I was like half awake answering that. I'm like, he's not gonna respond right away. Within 5 minutes I get a text from Chris. I'm like, I gotta respond.
I was on my game Sunday, for whatever reason. Just had some coffee, had a little cold brew that I made at home. It was a good time. We're headed into stuff where I think, like, let's for example say they want to just get some rim protection. It's going to be like Kyle Quinn in the minimum and just providing some depth. Like, that's the kind of move I would expect. We'll see if anything splashy happens, but that's a question for way down the road. We'll see what the cap looks like, all that stuff. You know, Evan, if I was going to be preparing for the NBA and preparing for the new cap, you know what I would really want? I'd want a protein snack. And you know what's a great protein snack?
Built Bar.
The best tasting protein bar ever. Built Bars are tasty. They come in 16 amazing flavors, including cookie dough, peanut butter brownie, mint brownie, banana nut bread, a whole bunch of other ones. They're covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, and they're great for the health conscious guy. Helps you lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Mm-hmm. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. And peanut butter brownie, for example, 20 grams of protein, 170 calories, 3 grams of sugar, 3 grams of net carbs. They're great. I know Evan's a fan, too.
I'm a huge fan, and I've been sharing the flavors. I've been going on a little bit of a taste quest, you know, going to Flavor Town with our guy, with Columbus's own Guy Fieri, and I'm a big fan of black cherry chocolate cream. It's good in the fact that cherry-flavored stuff teeters on the edge of tasting like cough medicine, and this one does not taste like cough medicine. It just tastes like a sweet cherry chocolate treat, and cannot be happier. And I know last time we talked about the great Built Bar. It's a great sweet treat that you can avoid putting on that COVID-15 with. So there you go, folks. If you are trying to be health conscious during a pandemic where you really can't go to the gym and maybe you don't feel like running outside, Built Bars are a great way to kind of bridge the gap of treating yourself while not completely ruining your wardrobe for the summer.
Yeah, go check them out and go to builtbar.com, promo code LOCKEDON. Save $10 off your first order, promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com. We're going to take a quick break, come back, talk about where the NBA season is sort of headed and more right after this. All right, Evan, we're back. So as far as we know, here's the latest on the NBA season. The target date is July 31st. A vote is coming for this Thursday from the Board of Governors that will sort of approve the NBA's plan. I think we'll know more about that once it comes out, once some of the final details are coming out. The NBA is going to come back. It's still like 2 months away. For us, in our little corner of the NBA universe here, the Cavs season is done. This is not a surprise, but I think it would be really shocking to see any more Cavs games, and I think it'll be really interesting to see how the Cavs who we get the inkling that at least like a lot of the guys want to play. Haven't said it quite as publicly as like Travis Schlenk from Atlanta has said it, but teams like the Cavs and the Hawks and others are heading into a very long offseason now, and I think it'll be interesting to see. I think for me, when I think about this, just trying to continue to do stuff and what kind of stuff you can do to keep guys going and developing over these long stretches, like, and especially because, like, I don't think we're going to have, like, summer league, obviously, this year.
No.
There are some questions about what all this is going to look like, and I'm curious to see how it does play out.
I am curious to see how it plays out as well. One thing I'm curious about is the proposed scenario that is gaining the most legs is you have the 16 teams in the playoffs, and then you include Portland, New Orleans, Sacramento, San Antonio, Phoenix, and Washington in there as well, with 8 teams sitting out being Golden State, Cleveland, Minnesota, Atlanta, Detroit, New York, Chicago, and Charlotte of the playoffs. I wonder, one, does this change the draft lottery percentages? Because...
Oh, yeah, good question.
That could be another way the Cavs do get hosed in the draft lottery again, because, I mean, granted, having a top 3 pick isn't a big, big deal for the Cavs because this talent pool and some of the players that maybe might be more ideal for Cleveland, you could justify taking outside of the top 3, but that's definitely something I'm interested about. But yeah, no, I know there are plenty of Cavs players, Colin Sexton being the biggest one of them, who wants to come back and finish out the season and play the remainder. Larry Nance as well, as long as it's safe. And it's just kind of a shame to think that their season is done and that they're going to try and fast track and maybe do some type of play-in tournament maybe to round out the bottom couple seeds to have the luxury of playing the Lakers and the Bucks in the first round and like these weirder bridge playoffs that the NBA is trying to do. Yeah, no, it's just a weird situation, and I'm sure it's going to take a little bit of time for me to unpack and really get an idea of it, but I've kind of resigned myself from when the season was gone for maybe a couple weeks. I started to resign myself to the fact because I think an agent told me, like, yeah, I don't think Cleveland's going to come back and play. And I'm like, oh, you really think so? He's like, yeah, I don't think so. And I'm like, okay. And then after that, I've just resigned myself to the fact that Cavs aren't coming back this year and that we need to start focusing on the offseason for them and then just kind of getting ready for what's next when play does resume, likely around Christmas time of this year.
Yeah, I think if... I would say, when I think about this, I think if you're the Cavs, the biggest disadvantage is you have... You wrote about this. I'm going to write about this after we get off here to kind of give people kind of my take on this in written form. But I think for me, the biggest things you're losing is just more development time for the young guys, mm-hmm. more time for JB to kind of get his imprint on the team, and also just more time to figure out like what you're doing with Andre Drummond and stuff.
Yeah, that's a big one.
That literally and figuratively, that is quite a big one.
I didn't even think of the literally part. I was just thinking figuratively, but well played.
Yeah. Yes. There's just like a lot of questions, and I think they're a team that would really there's certainly some benefit from that. You know, I would like to see KPJ get more games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're doing a really detailed job of trying to keep him structured and keep him being developed right now, which is a really smart play. There's just a lot that they are gonna like, even though like I would like we were sort of getting apathetic to the season a little bit. I think one thing I am gonna take from this going into the future is really just there's always gonna be something you can do and kind of get better at, and teams are gonna try to approach it that way. Mm-hmm. And trying to approach that stuff and figure that out is certainly, I think, something I can do better as a reporter thinking about this. And for me, it's those couple things that really just pop out above anything else. And look, again, like I do empathize with like Colin Sexton, like really wanting to play basketball, and this will be a very long stretch for him. Larry Nance wanted to play, his health concerns included in that, you know. I don't think anyone is like, I don't want to ever play basketball again. I think it, obviously we need to see how some of these guys would feel safety wise, and we'll see what the plans look like, and we'll see how this goes, because COVID's probably not going anywhere out of our lives. But you know, I do think the changes are going to be really interesting to see how they play out, and how the Cavs can navigate them will be really, really interesting. I do tend to think that because they already kind of have their beeline replacement already,
mm-hmm.
and the roster sort of is largely going to be what it is, we sort of think, if things work out kind of logically, which who knows, you know, it's a crazy world out there, they will at least benefit in theory from some continuity. I that is a hunch that I have.
Yeah, now that you lay it out like that, I know I've said it before, but the fact that this kind of came to a halt when it did, JB was 11 games into his tenure as Cavs head coach, and he was I feel like, you know, getting a pulse. He already had the pulse of this team, but leaving his imprint on how he wanted to run the offense, and obviously defensively the Cavs were improved as well, just to compare it to Beilein coaching the team. But yeah, no, that continuity is going to be huge, because I don't think Kevin Love will be traded. Like I said, Andre Drummond is opting into his player option, like you and I have both said. This roster is largely going to be the same, but the only major additions are this top rookie Cleveland's going to add, then Dylan Windler, who's technically a rookie because he didn't play this season. Those two will be key additions to the rotation in the roster, but other than that, it's largely going to be exactly the same as next year, and maybe with that level of comfort already established with the majority of the roster in JV, it's kind of easier for Cleveland to get the ball rolling. But just really bad timing with how things came to a halt in March, which, oh my God, I can't believe it was March when the season came to a halt, and we're entering June at this point. But it's just an interesting time for sure, and it's
crazy. Yeah. It's been that long.
It's super crazy, and it's just more so tough for rebuilding teams like Cleveland, who maybe want to try and get out of the doldrums of being a rebuilding team faster than most, because they're chasing the playoffs without LeBron. But I don't know. It's just, hopefully, like you said, like having that continuity and the fact that the roster is going to be largely the same heading into whatever next season does begin, it kind of gives Cleveland a little bit of a leg up compared to most of these rebuilding squads to maybe build proper momentum.
Yeah, one way I think you know, obviously you got to be set up correctly, and you need knowledge to do that. Isn't that right, Evan?
Yeah, and actually, let me tell you about the most useful app on my phone. It's hard to find time to sit down and read and learn more. When you don't have free time, you can't read or work on personal development. There's an incredible app that solves this problem, and I highly recommend it. It's called Blinkist. Blinkist is really unique, and it works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them down into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. Successful people, like business leaders or players on the Cleveland Cavaliers, are well known for reading a lot of books. Blinkist is made for busy people like you who want to get the main points of a book quickly so you can start using that information right away. And with its audio feature, Blinkist makes it easy to finish a book during your commute, on your lunch break, or when you exercise. 12 million people are using Blinkist right now, and it has a massive and growing library. From self-help, business, health, to history books, Blinkist has the latest titles on the bestsellers list, as well as the classic nonfiction titles that you always meant to read but never had the time to. I like Blinkist because in less than 15 minutes, I feel like I can fast-track my path to a more intelligent, informed, and healthy me. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want, and all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA and try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled BLINKIST. Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial. And you'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA.
And we're going to come right back after this with more Lockdown Cavs. We're going to talk about LaMelo Ball, who took part in a protest on Sunday, right after this. All right, we're back here on Lockdown Cavs. Evan, let's talk about LaMelo Ball, the draft prospect. One of the things we're going to do here in the coming months, as I've alluded to a little bit, is going to be a bunch of draft stuff. We're going to do it here after the Sword and dive into a bunch of stuff. One of the things we're going to do is do different series. So one of them is, and specifically, we're going to do 6 weeks worth of different analysis of different Cavs team needs, like why it's a need, ways it could happen internally and get fixed, ways that you could get benefits from it externally, the draft free agency, all that stuff. The ones that specifically we're going to talk about are wing defense, rim protection, shooting, playmaking, versatility, high-end talent. As far as high-end talent goes, the draft itself is obviously the most traditional way to get that talent, or trades, which the Cavs aren't going to do. The problem with the draft this year is that it's considered 2013-esque, where it's a little all over the place, and you know it could be pretty disastrous if you take the wrong guy. According to Chris Fedor, you and I have heard some similar stuff. the Cavs are very keen on him and have him as their kind of number one guy on their board right now. We know that they like him. We know they've scouted him in Australia. This isn't quite new. I know that they've reached out to the people that coached him at the Spire Academy and kind of poked around there and kind of seen what he's like. I know listening to Chad Ford on the Chad Ford NBA Big Board, one of the concerns teams have had is just the LaMelo presence and kind of what he is in that sense. But Evan, you wrote about him at Forbes. You've kind of narrowed him as your guy. Why have you thought of him as kind of right now your kind of most interesting guy for how you think he would fit on the Cavs?
Well, I'll share this, some little insider tea that I'm going to spill a little bit. I was talking to an executive in Cleveland's sphere. I won't say it's the front office or anything like that, but they made a really good comparison to the situation with the Arizona Cardinals and Kyler Murray. For those of you who probably know, Kyler Murray, when the Cardinals selected him, they already had Josh Rosen on their roster, but they took the best player available and they thought the best player for them, which was Kyler, and then they figured out the situation, and their situation was trading Josh Rosen in the end. But the parallel you can draw with Cleveland is the fact that they already have Darius Garland, Colin Sexton, who are established as point guards on this roster. Colin, granted, plays the shooting guard, but naturally he's a point guard just from his height and his size alone. And drafting LaMelo seems kind of counterproductive doing that. My thought process was, from after hearing that and kind of just storyboarding this article, was you take the best player every time, because Cleveland is a team that is starved for talent and they need to get the best possible player for them so that they can do this rebuild or renaissance, whatever you want to call it, because I know we joke about that still from time to time, the right way. And if you don't take the best player available and you draft for fit instead of just overall need, which is talent, you're going to be setting yourself back in the long run. And when it comes to Garland and Sexton, you can play both of those with LaMelo off the ball and let LaMelo be your primary initiator on offense as the primary point guard, but you can also just say, like, slide one of them to the six man, whether it's Garland or Sexton, or God willing, you sell high on one of these players as well, and Cleveland brings in more picks, or they bring in a prospect that maybe just kind of fits their what they're trying to build all together. But there's a lot of options here. And a lot of what Chris said, the Cavs are doing their due diligence on LaMelo. They're talking to his coaches at Spire. They're talking to coaches in Australia for him. And they're also just kind of keeping an eye on the situation with their dad. And I think that's kind of overblown at this point, because he made a big deal that he wanted Lonzo in Los Angeles, and then Lonzo ends up in New Orleans and you don't really hear much from it. LiAngelo plays for the G League affiliate of Oklahoma City. You don't hear much about that either. And the fact that I kind of just gather from what I've heard and what I've gathered on my own is the Ball brothers are trying to make themselves their own men without their dad being so involved in their life. And like, their dad will always be a part of their life, but they're also trying to be their own men. And I think the Cavs are kind of gathering that information as well, that they're at least getting reassurances that there might be a bit of a circus with LeVar, but it will go away. The circus isn't going to be in town very long, because, like, as we know, he's trying to get LaMelo to go to New York, and LeVar really can't control the draft lottery like that.
No, I mean, certainly I think the lottery will say more about this than anything. You know, if the Cavs get hosed in any ways, whatever, like, that'll be something to watch. I would just say I think he's interesting to me because you look at the playmaking, it's just clearly would fill a massive need. Like, for me, I haven't, like, ranked them. Yeah, I haven't ranked them yet, but playmaking might be number one for me. It's like that or wing defense, probably, aside from the high-end talent bit.
Defense for me.
So I think about this, and I think about LaMelo, and I think about, you know, he's got the size. I'll curious see what he looks like defensively. Obviously, Lonzo is, like, a very good defensive player. I don't know if LaMelo is that.
If LaMelo ends up like Lonzo, even if his shot's broken, but if he's that elite defensively and an elite playmaker as well, like, sign me up. People should not complain if you get that kind of player.
No, and like, and
especially, you know, in this draft class.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, the guys that I most like kind of early in this evaluation process would be our guy, Denny Avdija, who posted a video of the new shooting form last week. I like Killian Hayes, and I like LaMelo. Those are the three guys that I am most drawn to. Obi Toppin scares the crap out of me. James Wiseman scares the crap out of me. Wiseman scares the crap out of me less if Andre Drummond isn't on the team, but if he is on the team as we expect him to be, like, that is just a no-go for me. There's other guys I like. We'll get into it more, but I think I'm with you. I'm sort of not ready to say one guy or the other yet, but the LaMelo Ball stuff, it would be really interesting. And if you're looking at someone who, look, like, there is something to like having like a face and a like having someone you can kind of push. Not only would I do, I think like a LaMelo Kevin Love stuff could be really fun, and him throwing lobs to those guys could be like a ton of fun. The other part of it is like he can take on some of the spotlight stuff that Colin doesn't really want, and Darius Garland doesn't really want. And
yeah,
I don't know if ego gets in the way there, but there is something to like this is a guy that actually could be kind of like your wattage guy, and that might come into the conversation in some way.
Yeah, I kind of alluded to that in my Forbes piece as well. Granted, the last time the Cavs had a quote-unquote the guy, it was LeBron. And I mean, Kyrie was giving flashes of that just because Kyrie is an exciting player to watch when he's cooking dudes one-on-one. And, like, that's just fun to watch, period. But I think maybe – and, like, the Cavs had that opportunity with Zion last year, but they got hosed in the draft lottery with every team jumping ahead of them and them falling to fifth. But – I mean, I'm not saying LaMelo is going to be at the tier of Zion or LeBron in terms of like franchise altering talent, but he's going to be exciting enough to watch. And he, just because of his family and everything else, like they're famous for a reason, and that's going to put casual fans to have them tune into games and have them put butts in the seats and help jersey sales. Like, there's a lot of factors here that the Cavs are considering, because like you said, like Colin Sexton's fun to watch, but like he's more for the hardcore fans, and Darius Garland, we're still not really sure what kind of player he is, but he's kind of a quiet, soft-spoken dude. Like, LaMelo's a guy you could make the face of the franchise in more ways than one, just because he's got a lot of interesting dynamics going for him, and that's something Cleveland definitely needs as well, just to kind of keep people coming into this brandly renovated arena of theirs.
Also, just selfishly for us, interesting to cover.
Oh, for sure. It'd be so much fun to have. The Cavs, I still don't think are going to win a lot of games next year. I know some people think that maybe they're going to be flirting with the playoffs next year, but I don't think, logically, I just don't think you can fill that 9-game gap or whatever they have with Orlando right now for the 8th seed by just adding a rookie in this year's draft class and Dylan Windler and maybe a little bit of continuity with JB in the roster. Like, I just don't think it's there, but it's fun for the future. And I think LaMelo is definitely that best player for it, just because playmaking alone, like having a dynamic playmaker like that and just unlocking the rest of the offense just makes this Cavs team a lot more fun and a lot more palatable to watch.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Evan, any final thoughts as we get out of here?
Hope everyone's staying safe out there. Hopefully Chris and I could give you like a brief 30-40 minute respite from just the heaviness of the news cycle, but make sure you just take the time to check in on yourself and make sure you're doing okay and your friends and families and loved ones are doing okay too. And yeah, no, it's just gonna be a weird time. The Cavs are not coming back at this point, and we'll be here with you every step of the way to hopefully give you the best coverage we can and hopefully make it enjoyable for you until they do come back.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. I hope everyone had a good weekend. I hope everyone is staying safe. I hope everyone is taking some time, you know, for yourself, take some self-care and do things that make you happy amid all of this, and enjoy yourself a little bit when you can. Again, stay safe. There's also this pandemic still going on. And again, we're going to inform you as much as we can. We're going to come back. The plan is right now to come back on Wednesday with the next issue of The Time Machine. We'll have the finale of the Return of the King book club, which I didn't even realize. Evan, I remember when I planned this out and I was like, wow, this is really going to cover us for a while. And boy, did it. But boy, did I think we'd have basketball back when we were done.
Oh, I did too. I thought we'd have basketball back. I thought, I didn't think things would get this bad, but Dimitri, shout out to friend of the pod Dimitri, gave us a good book suggestion, because I'd like to keep doing this. It's a lot of fun to be able to talk about slices of Cavs history, and this is a lot of fun too, just to relive like some of the best moments of my life as a Cavs fan.
Yeah, we're gonna next do the book Vintage Cavs by Terry Pluto. I don't know when we're gonna start that yet, but if you want to get your copy now, I know I think I'm going to. So please take.
I actually got
to
order it while you're wrapping.
Yeah, when we get off, I'm gonna take care of that. But get your hands on it. We're gonna start that relatively soon. And thanks again for listening. Thanks again to Built Bar and Blinkist for sponsoring the show. When you wrap up this show, go check out the other shows in the Locked On Network. That includes the show Rejecting the Screen from those two guys. That gets a lot of great interviews. So go check that out wherever you're listening to Locked On Cavs, and that could be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or on your smart device. Just tell it to play Rejecting the Screen. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.